Is where we're at this evening. Had a good time with the guys this morning, men's group. That's always a good time. What else we got going? Oh, tomorrow night is ladies' fellowship. Tomorrow night is ladies' fellowship, and 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Colossians, we're going to start in verse 9. And the subject this evening is complete in Christ, or everything that God is going to provide and wants to provide for you is found in Jesus Christ. Everything. And outside of Jesus Christ, you're not going to find what you need. But every good thing, every beneficial thing, everything that God wants you to have is going to be found in Jesus Christ. And there's a little word in Colossians that shows up multiple times. And it's a little word, but it's also a very big word. And what... all. That's what I... It's a short word, A-L-L, but it covers everything. And this word shows up, and the reason Colossians is able to be written is because Jesus Christ has done the work that God wants done. He reconciles, he has paid for sin. He has also provided wisdom. He's provided the way. He is all the things that God wants to give to mankind. And before Jesus Christ, Colossians obviously couldn't have been written, but after Jesus Christ's ministry and death, burial, and resurrection, let me just show you a few of these, because this is really the theme of Colossians. And I thought we'd go through this, and I think we've gone through it several weeks ago when we went through kind of the overview of the book. But since we started hitting these words, A-L-L, all, it'd be good to see some more context with all this stuff. But Colossians 1:9 says this. Notice the all in this one. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Look in verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. See, just the complete comprehensive covering of everything that God wants done here. Look in verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. And skip down to verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I mean, it just keeps showing up. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things. Look over in chapter 2. We'll just skip ahead a little bit. Chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Look over in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. For in him, that's Jesus Christ, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Look in verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I mean, it's so comprehensive of what Jesus Christ has done. It's completely the full spectrum, the full work of God is complete, is done in Jesus Christ. Verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Look over in chapter 3, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, here's an application, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you got some application there. Let's see. I'll just stop there because we're going to go through these and deal with them a little bit more particularly. But you see, it shows up so many times. That is the theme of Colossians, is the preeminent work of Jesus Christ, and that everything that God is going to do is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Everything. And so, with that in mind, the title or the theme, you know, it's just, we could call it just complete in Christ. And we're going to take some of these and put them together there, but we're going to deal with some of these individually, and that'll be what we'll talk about tonight. But let's pray, and then we'll get started with that. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this book of Colossians that really describes the work of Jesus Christ. And Lord, in Jesus Christ, everything we need is found. And Lord, I believe that you would help us tonight understand what we need to understand out of this and get what we need to get out of these things. And Father, that you'd, I know folks getting off work and probably tired and things like that, but Lord, I pray you'd help us, help the ladies next door as they teach the kids and help the kids there. But Father, I pray and ask you that your Holy Spirit have liberty among us to really magnify the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go back. Now you've seen a whole bunch of these alls and the comprehensive, complete work and blessings of God, all that work of God in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, and deal with about six of these things and just show you the, give you a little more detail on this. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, the first thing we're going to look at is all wisdom is put into Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul will even say it in Corinthians that Jesus Christ is become our wisdom. He is it. And unfortunately, I don't know how else to say this. I think sometimes when we're dealing with kids about salvation or even adults, the message we present about Jesus Christ is that he's how you get to heaven. And that's not untrue, but it gives you the false sense that and false idea that Christianity doesn't begin until you die. That, you know, Jesus Christ is really of no use in this life until you hit the grave, then you go to heaven. That's Christianity. So we'll ask something like this. Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Okay, pray this prayer and you'll go to heaven. Okay, okay. Aside from all the other wrong things with that, it gives the idea that Christianity doesn't mean anything until you're ready to die. And so someone prays a prayer and they say, okay, I want Jesus, you know, to be my Savior and all that stuff. And they get up from the prayer and then like, okay, now I'll go live my life. And I'll wait till I die and then Christianity will kick in and I'll, you know, have some, it'll be of use to me when I die. But look at these verses. Look in Colossians 1:9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might do what? Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. So, Christianity doesn't begin when someone dies, and Jesus Christ isn't useful just at the grave. Eternal life begins now, and it's useful now. In fact, it's the will of God that you would, in Jesus Christ, observe and learn the wisdom of God so you would know how you're supposed to walk in this life. And not wait till you die and then we can, you know, have a funeral and say, well, he prayed a prayer and so, you know, he's in heaven. We're all glad about that. No, it's so that you can have eternal life now and walk in that eternal life now. And that's the will of God, is that the wisdom of God, you would understand it in Jesus Christ. He is the complete wisdom of God. And in that wisdom, you understand, and we talked about it last week about being filled and all that kind of stuff, but you would understand how you're supposed to walk in eternal life now. So Christianity doesn't begin, and eternal life and Jesus Christ, it's not your ticket to heaven. Christianity, eternal life, is a way of living life here. It's a way of living life, and that will lead into how a person dies. But it's a way of living life right now. You'll find out if you wait to die to serve God, you will have waited too long. Your opportunity to do that will be over with. So, the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ would say, you know, he would say to folks while he's on this earth, he would say, follow me, meaning walk the way I'm walking, do the things I'm doing, and I will be your wisdom and I will show you the way God expects and intends for a soul to walk this earth. So, He is the complete wisdom of God, not just some ticket out of hell to go to heaven. He's the wisdom of God showing and explaining and declaring how a man would or a woman would walk in this life in eternal life. Eternal life begins here. Upon trusting Jesus Christ, you get eternal life in Jesus Christ, and then you start walking in that eternal life. So let me show you another verse that goes with this. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll give you another verse that goes with this, a little cross-reference here. Complete wisdom. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. Now, I'll make this little comment here on this verse. A lot of folks just stop at 22 and don't get the whole context of this. So they'll say something like, for the Jews require a sign, and they'll just stop there and say, okay, the Jews needed some signs, and that's how God dealt with them. Well, yeah, sometimes, but that's not what he's talking about. When he says the Jews require a sign, Paul's describing the obstacles the Jews had in trusting Jesus Christ. The Pharisees would say repeatedly to Jesus Christ, show us a sign. And he would say, the sign is Jonah the prophet. And they would say, immediately after he had fed 5,000 people, they would say, show us a sign. Meaning, that's the hang-up. They're just blind of the work of God. So he'd say, the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. So that's their hang-up. The Greeks, the wisdom is the hang-up with the Greeks. And the reason you know those are hang-ups is because verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. I mean, can you imagine someone looking for a sign and seeing a dead Savior? Thinking, what kind of sign is this? So to the Jews, he's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, he's just foolishness. It doesn't make any sense. Keep reading, though. But we preach Christ, verse 23, crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So he is not only the power of God in resurrection, he's also the wisdom of God in how to live a life, how things are supposed to be lived out, and how God's wisdom is supposed to be utilized in this world. So to folks who would believe, whether they're Jews or Greeks, he said Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. All right, that's what he says over there in Colossians. And all wisdom, it's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. All right, let's go back over to Colossians and give you another one. And I won't go through all the alls in Colossians. We're going to cover big chunks of these. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Colossians 1:11. The next complete in Christ, the next thing that is complete in Christ, number one is wisdom. Number two is might. And it's coupled with patience. Look in verse 11, Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, none of that goes together. Long-suffering with joyfulness. Those two things don't work. The long-suffering with joyfulness, the way they work is, in Christ they work. When you have hope and you're looking forward to something, you can endure trouble when you have hope at the end, when there's light at the end of the tunnel. That's Jesus Christ. So verse 11, you've got all might wrapped up in Jesus Christ, but the might is not, it's not the ability to overcome obstacles in this life, or how to become a better you in this life, or how to be successful in business in this life. The might has to do with endurance. It has to do with long suffering. It has to do with trouble, that you don't compromise and you don't lose faith in the trouble. So he says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I'll give you a couple examples. So might is seen in endurance without compromise and without losing hope. Let me show you a couple of these. Look over in Revelation chapter 12. I'll give you a cross-reference to this one. And notice how someone overcomes, but what the description of the overcoming is in this verse. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Because we get the idea, and you'll have, 100 Christian books written that are, bestsellers or whatever, how you can overcome and be the best you and things like that. But in the Bible, overcoming doesn't have anything to do with any of those things. It has to do with endurance through trouble. Revelation chapter 12, 11. Watch how this is worded. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, you wouldn't consider any of that overcoming. You would say, all these people are dying. They're not successful. They're not overcoming these obstacles. In fact, they're being overrun by this enemy. And we won't go into all the details of all this stuff. But they're being killed. I mean, how is that a successful life? Well, it's successful in that they love not their lives unto death. And they didn't give up. And they didn't compromise. And they kept the faith, and they kept trusting God through the trouble, even when it cost them their lives. And that is success. That's overcoming. So the might that Paul talks about in Colossians is not the might to, you know, how you're going to be real successful in life, and how you know you got this problem and you're gonna overcome this obstacle in your life, and don't let anybody stop you, and you know, be the best you and all that stuff. None of that's Christianity. That's psychology. That's, you know, sells books and stuff and helps people think better about themselves, but it's not Christianity. When Jesus Christ describes overcoming, he's talking about someone enduring trouble and not compromising on God. You think about Job. I mean, Job is just put through the ringer, and he says, I am not going to curse God in this. I am not going to cast aspersion. I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to stop trusting God through this. I mean, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. What was it? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So the might that's being talked about, Jesus Christ is the might of God, but it's not like a superhero might. It's endurance. It's suffering through something without giving up on God in it. Give you another one here. First John. Look in 1 John chapter 5. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So here's a bunch of successful people who are killed. That doesn't sound successful, but in God's economy, that's successful. That's what Jesus Christ did. He dies on the cross. He doesn't give up the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Remember that word, overcome? Here's what overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What you might read in something else is, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Your success and your bank account, that's the victory that overcomes. That's it. That's what you're looking for. That's not what you're looking for. Here's the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the might that's associated with Jesus Christ is might that includes or is endurance through trouble without ever compromising or giving up on the will of God. And you think about how easy it is in day-to-day life for you, for me, for us to just give up on the will of God. There are some simple things that get in our way that cause us to just, maybe distraction, maybe pleasure, maybe, you know, a little bit of pressure from somebody else, some friends or whatever, and it just causes you to just give up on the will of God in that area. But in Jesus Christ, he's the might of God, which is the long suffering, which is endurance with long suffering, and all of that done with joy. All right, so he's the complete wisdom. He's the complete might of God. Look back in Colossians and give you another couple of these here. Colossians 1:16. All right, Colossians 1:16, and we'll go through several of these verses. Jesus Christ is the creator and sustainer. It says in verse 16, Colossians 1:16, for by him, that's Jesus Christ, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means all things will be judged by him. He lets you choose what you're going to do with the life he's given you, and in the end, he will judge that. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And I'll stop there. So Jesus Christ is the creator and sustainer. I know you guys have probably heard this, but it's worth saying again. You may not have known, some of you may not have known, that Jesus Christ is the creator. He isn't just someone who showed up one time in history. He's the creator. And he created everything by him and for him. So he's also the purpose of everything. You say, what's my purpose in life? Well, your purpose is to please Jesus Christ, because that's who you're created by and for. So everything's for him, he's created by him. And the wild thing about that is, when he entered into his creation, the people that he had given everything to, that he could give to, his words and promises and all those things, when he entered into his creation just rejected him. They flat out rejected him. And they don't want anything to do with the Creator. So I say that to say this: the Bible doesn't leave you the option of believing that Jesus Christ was a good teacher. It doesn't leave you the option of believing that Jesus Christ was a good philosopher. It doesn't leave you the option of believing that Jesus Christ was just a good guy or a religious guy. The Bible doesn't leave you any of those options. You either understand that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, or you have to discount the Bible. You couldn't claim to believe the Bible, because that's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He's the creator. He's the sustainer of all things. So that being said, verse 18 says that in all things, at the end of verse 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ wants, how can I say this? It means that in your decision to find a job, it's God's will that Christ would be preeminent in that decision. What do you say? Preeminent in all things. Meaning you don't have an area of life that is separate from Jesus Christ, that you just kind of hide over here, and I'm going to do my own thing over here, and this part of my life will be the Jesus Christ part of my life, and this part of my life will be my life. Your whole life is wrapped up in Jesus Christ, and your whole life will pass under the judgment of Jesus Christ, but negative about it, Jesus Christ also wants to bless your life. I mean, he wants you to live a good, fruitful life. And the way that's done is you make Jesus Christ preeminent in the decisions. It means the decision of who to marry. It's God's will that Christ would be preeminent in that decision. It means in the decision of how to spend money, it's God's will that Christ would be preeminent in that decision. It means that the decision of my education, it's God's will that Christ would be preeminent in that. He said that he would be preeminent in all things. And he just got through telling you he's the creator of all things. He is already over everything. He's the judge of everything. He's the sustainer of everything. So it's only practical to When you can line up your will with God's will, you're in sync with the way things ought to be. It may not look like it in this world, but that's you're in sync with it. And I think you'll find your battles are not necessarily with the world. Your struggle is really with, is it going to be my will, or am I going to make Jesus Christ preeminent in this thing? Is he going to be the one allowed to make the decision, or am I going to make the decision? And it's not really necessarily a struggle with the world. It's a struggle with, do I let him be preeminent and take instruction from the Creator, or do I just go ahead and make my own decision because it feels like the right thing to do, or because it seems like the right thing to do, or you know, it's just I can make more doing this. He's preeminent in all things. It's God's will that Jesus Christ would be preeminent, and he is going to be preeminent. He's the creator, he's the sustainer, he is all things there. All right, look over in verse 19. We'll move on. Try to move a little more quicker here. In verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through his blood, or through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You skip down to verse 28. It says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I give you a little thought on this. Maybe some of you can relate to this part of it. Before Jesus Christ was here, put it this way. When Jesus Christ comes, dies, buried, resurrected, and now God's provision for salvation is complete. He's done. This is God's provision for salvation. Would you say at that point in time, when Jesus Christ has come, now to humanity, much has now been given? You know, in Luke it says, to whom much is given, much will be required. Before Jesus Christ, and some of you are familiar with this, but before Jesus Christ, we sometimes say, well, it's harder to get saved back then than it is now. The Bible says before Jesus Christ, God winked at some things, but now, after Jesus Christ, commands men everywhere to repent. Meaning the principle is true, to whom much is given, much is required. You'll find in Hebrews 11, and if you don't understand where I'm going with this, it's not going to take very long. In Hebrews 11, you have several different acts of faith just listed. You know, Hebrews 11, here's by faith Abel did this, by faith Noah did this, by faith Rahab did this, and none of them are the same thing. But God was accounting righteousness to these souls based on this faith. And he said he would just account it righteousness. But there was a day that came where God's righteousness was actually put on display and can be now given to mankind. That's after Jesus Christ. So now God expects every soul to come to Jesus Christ now. This is where the salvation, this is where righteousness is, this is where everything God wants to give man is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. So it's we'll go more a little bit on that, but I'm not going to go too much more. I just wanted to say, sometimes we get the idea that, okay, before Jesus Christ, it's a lot harder to be saved and all that kind of stuff. That's not necessarily true. God accepted a lot of different things that he called faith in Hebrews 11. After Jesus Christ, there's only one thing. You trust Jesus Christ and repent, that's what he counts. You can't build a boat. You can't do any of these other things and say, well, God, will you count this as righteousness? No. The only thing I count righteousness is Jesus Christ. And if you don't get Jesus Christ, you don't have righteousness. He is righteousness. All right, here's another one. We'll move on from that one. He's reconciling all things, he said in verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. All right, here's another one. The complete blessing of God. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. I'll give you several in chapter 2 here for this one. The complete blessing of God is in Jesus Christ. Paul said this in verse 1, chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. As for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. I'll stop there and I'll say this. He says, all riches of the full assurance of understanding. God is not willing for you to question your entire life whether you have eternal life or not. He's not interested in a religion that never gives any kind of assurance of salvation. Remember, I think you were telling me that, Alan, and it was something I said to somebody a while back, just a couple years ago. Knocked on a door, younger guy, Roman Catholic, he wasn't really interested in anything, wouldn't want to talk. And so I said, can I just ask you one question? And he said, fine. And so I said, do you know where you're going when you die? And this was just kind of trying to just get something in his head to think about. And he said, no, nobody knows that. And I said, then what in the world is your religion doing for you? You will go round and round and round and round trying to serve a God you don't understand with no assurance that what you're doing is even right, with no assurance that what you are even doing counts for anything. That's not God's will. His will is that you would have full assurance of understanding what he wants, what he expects, and full assurance that I am the present possessor of eternal life. And because I am the present possessor of eternal life, I can now tell you how to get eternal life. How am I going to tell you how to find eternal life or how to get eternal life if I myself don't have it? What am I supposed to teach people? What am I supposed to tell them? What kind of preacher gets up in a pulpit and says, well, we hope we have eternal life. Why would I come back to your church? What are we doing? I can go to Walmart and question my salvation. I don't need to sit in a pew on Sunday and question it. All the blessings of God, he says in verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Skip down to verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Thomas said one time, he said, well, show us the Father. And Jesus Christ says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is exactly what God wants you to see. You've seen it. Verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Down to verse 13, and you being dead in your trespass, in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All the blessings of God are in Jesus Christ, including the most important blessing, which is the forgiveness of sins. David said, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose trespasses are not imputed to, or iniquity is not imputed to him, whose sins are forgiven. Forgiveness of sins. That is something that when a person trusts Jesus Christ, when a person gets saved, what they're doing is receiving forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But in order to receive forgiveness, you've got to understand you've got sin between you and God. It's not just, okay, I'm going to pray this prayer and, Jesus come in my heart and, okay, great, I'm saved now. Well, what are you saved from? Well, I don't know, Jesus is in my heart, so I'm all right now. No. If you got saved, you got saved from something. You got saved from hell, which is the consequence of your sin. But forgiveness of sins, that's in Jesus Christ. Notice, forgiveness of sins is not in a mass. It's not in a water baptism. It's not in going to church. It's in Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ, there's no forgiveness. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. All these things, the complete blessings of God are in Jesus Christ. I'm going to read you some of these words of this song because it's a really cool song. I wish I could sing it, but I'm going to spare you that. The song is called Complete in Thee. It says this: Complete in Thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of Thine. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and I am now complete in Thee. The chorus goes like this: Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. That's a great song. I really wish I could sing it for you, but I can't. Maybe we'll do a special with it. It says this, I'll read a couple more verses. It says, Complete in thee, no more shall sin, thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Complete in thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be at thy right hand, complete in thee. It's a really good song, but it just describes everything we're talking about in Colossians. Everything is found in Jesus Christ. Everything God wants you to have is in Jesus Christ. One more. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11 says, Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He is the complete filling. Someone said, well, you know, if I just had this, 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 if you have Jesus Christ, you have everything God wants you to have. Verse 17, now here's some practical application to all that. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Since He is all these things now, He is the blessings of God, the wisdom of God, the forgiveness, all these things are in Jesus Christ. He says, all right, here's the application. Whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord. Everything. Put it before Him. Let him judge it. Let Him make a decision on it. If you can't figure it out from the Bible, what His word on it is, find somebody that can give you some verses and show you what He thinks about it. Look over in chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's Jesus Christ. That's what he provides. Everything that you need. Complete in Jesus Christ. Well, I just need this. Well, I just need that. Well, if I just had this, I'd be happy. If I just had that, I'd be happy. When you can get your will lined up with his will, you'll be happy. When you can get your will lined up with his, you'll be in sync with God, and you will be doing the things God wants done. And with that comes the fruit of the Spirit, the joy, the peace, all those things that come with the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. But all that comes from Jesus Christ. After he completed the work that he did on the cross and death, burial, and resurrection, and then going up into heaven, ascending up into heaven, sending down the Holy Spirit of God, and now he's going to fill all believers with his Holy Spirit, and he will supply all the needs that you and I have to do the will of God and to be pleasing to God. But this whole book, Colossians, is about all the things that Jesus Christ is and the preeminence of Jesus Christ, how he is everything God wants you to have is in Jesus Christ.